Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Well, again, welcome to Christ Covenant. So glad to have every single one of you here. And I just got to just share my heart just for a second. But I just want you to know that it's an honor to be the pastor here of the church. And I just want to thank you for investing in. Thank you for being here. And just thank you for your faith and your love of God. There's nothing more fun than running after God together. Amen. And you can do it by yourself, but it's way better to do it a part of a community. So just thank you for plugging in here and for trusting me. And that's not in my notes. That's just a freebie. I want to share my heart with you. But we also want to give a shout out, a special shout out to everybody watching, listening online. Come on, Christ Covenant. Can we make a little noise and show a little love? Everybody doing that? Our familia. Well, hey, we're excited because today we finish our series that we've been in for a few weeks called Hug It Out. This is the finale. If you got a copy of God's Word with you, turn with me to Habakkuk chapter 3, part B of verse 16. If you were here last week, this is where we left off. And I read during communion from the Good News translation, and we're going to keep on that vein in that translation here today in the message. So Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 16, we're going to finish our series. I hope God's done a work in you like he has been in me. And I got to tell you something, I saved the best for last. And so I think God's going to do something really great. And as you're turning there, I want to remind all of us, because maybe you've read this in the past, or maybe this is going to be brand new, but I want to remind all of us that what we're about to read is actually one of the most powerful statements of faith recorded in Scripture. So that should perk your ears up a little bit, because God is about to do something amazing in our lives, and it's only hype if you don't believe it, all right? So back at chapter 3, verse 16, starting in part B, it says this, I will, this is Habakkuk towards God, I will quietly wait for the time to come when God will punish those who attack us, even though, somebody say even though. Even though. Let's do that again. Somebody say even though. All right, even though the fig trees have no fruit and no grapes grow on the vines, even though the olive crops fail and the fields produce no grain, even though the sheep all die and the cattle stalls are empty, I will still be joyful and glad because the Lord God is my Savior. The last verse of this entire book, the sovereign Lord gives me strength. It's not Red Bull, y'all. It's some Jesus up in here. The sovereign Lord gives me strength. He makes me sure-footed as a deer, and he keeps me safe on the mountains. We just finished a whole book in the Bible. Yay, us, all right? If you're taking notes, I'm calling the final message of our series, even though I will. Even though I will. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. And we thank you for this time together underneath the reading and about to be the preaching of your word. And we pray, God, that as we finish this series, you would finish a great work inside each of us, even for those that are here for the first time. As you catch us up here in a moment, as we recap quickly and as we talk about some new things and rediscover some things that we maybe discovered in the past, may you do a fresh work and a new work and a powerful work. God, we know this, life for many of us is not easy right now. In fact, for some, it was a pain just to get through the doors of this building because there's so much going on. There's so much happening. There's chaos. And in the middle of the chaos, in the middle of the storm, and honestly, just in the plain middle where most of us, a lot of us are, we pray that you would meet us there, that you would speak a fresh word, that you would do a great work, and that God, the same kind of revelation you gave to Habakkuk that you would give to us thousands of years later. God, we need you, we want you, and honestly, we can't go a day without you. So have your work inside all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We just read a powerful ending to a wrestling match. A wrestling match between the man of God, Habakkuk, and God himself. They have been hugging it out for a while now, hence the name of this series. See, at the very beginning, Habakkuk, he looks around at what's happening in the southern kingdom of Israel, Judah, and he doesn't like it. And honestly, nobody likes it. There's the people of God that were once following God that have turned away from God. But not just that, the remnant, the people of God that are still following God there, they are being persecuted. They are being pushed down. There's injustice. There's violence all around. And so as we started this series and we told you some context with the history here, Habakkuk is seeing all of this. And what does he do next? He looks up to God and he says, God, why aren't you doing anything about this? Like, why aren't you doing something? You've got the power to change things. Why are you not doing something? And God doesn't rebuke Habakkuk for the questions. God doesn't get mad because the man of God who lost faith because he's, no. He had faith, but he still had questions. And God answers Habakkuk back and he says this, I am going to do something about it. I'm going to take care of this problem, but I'm going to send the wicked people of Babylon to take care and bring justice amongst God's people. Now, Habakkuk, just like you, he did not like that answer. How could you use our enemies to bring justice to us? Remember, we're your people, God. How could you use them to help us out? And so he asks God more questions like that, and God answers him a second time, and he says, I will bring justice to the bad guys, the Babylonians, but it's not going to happen according to your Apple Watch. It's not going to happen according to your Google Calendar. You've got to wait for it. You've got to wait for it. And then after chapters 1 and 2, because that's what I just recapped for us, in chapter 3, the last chapter, Habakkuk finally looks up to God and he submits to God's will. Like, God's thrown the people elbow, y'all. He's thrown the rock bottom, the suplex, all that kind of stuff. And Habakkuk finally gets to a place where he taps on the mat and he says, God, I surrender. God, I give up and I allow you to do what you want to do. He submits to God's will. And friend, this is the place that all true Christians should get to. That God, even if your way is different than my way, I'm gonna submit, I'm gonna tap out, and I'm gonna say, God, your will be done, not my will. And that all leads us to the first point. Just got a couple of points, and I think this is really gonna encourage you and help you as we finish this series in this book in the Bible. This leads us to our first point from the end of chapter 3. Habakkuk, who is in the middle, like many of us, Habakkuk, who is between a rock and a hard place, he tells God, point number one, even though I will rest. Even though I wish there was a solution coming earlier, I will wait on you. And the Good News translation we just read from says, verse 16, I will quietly wait for the time. What's Habakkuk saying? I've made a lot of noise, God, and you've been patient with me as I showed anger and frustration. I had about 15 million questions for you. You showed patience, but now I'm finally to the place where I will quietly wait for the time to come when God will punish those who attack us. Now, one of the biggest takeaways from this whole series, as we looked at Habakkuk's life and this entire book in its full context, is this, that the Habakkuk, the man of God, he has a very close relationship with God. That's one of the biggest takeaways of this entire thing, that Habakkuk is so close with God that he can rest and wait on God because he knows who God is. And this brings really good news for you and for me. That yes, he had a close relationship with God, but so can you. Oh, he's a prophet. He's got a book in the Bible. Yeah, that's all true. But what was available then in the Old Testament is available to you now, today, 2020. well, I'm not close to God. It's not God's fault. That's on us. You are as close to God as you want to be. And we learn this from Habakkuk's life. He has the kind of relationship with God where he can question God, but he can also put his faith in God. He can rely on God's character and track record because he knows God personally. Doesn't know about God. Many people know about God, especially in the belt buckle of the Bible Belt, Houston, Texas. People know about God, but they don't know God personally. I can know about a movie star, or I can know about a musician, but do I know them personally? Do I know their character? Do I know their history, their track record, who they are in all seasons and at all times? And Habakkuk, the man of God, he knows God in such a deep, personal way. And if you fast forward farther down the timeline as this book ends, we know, as we research history, that God does bring judgment on wicked Babylon. But here's what you need to know. You need to know that it doesn't come until 539 BC. And maybe that doesn't mean anything, but it will now. That's almost 70 years after this book was written. So God brought judgment on Babylon. It came crumbling down, but it was years, and I just told you, decades later. Now, we don't amen that or applaud that, right? Because we're like, I might be dead by the time that comes through. But remember, God does not follow your schedule on your Apple Watch or your Google Calendar. God's ways are better than our ways, and he came through, but again, he had to wait for it. Habakkuk looked to God after all the wrestling and all the struggling, and he said, God, even though I wish it happened sooner, I will rest because you are still on the throne. He had to wait a while, but he finally got to a place where he could trust God in the waiting. And so I just want to make this as practical as I can, because like I've said throughout this series many different times, there's a lot of people like me that you can relate to what he's going through. There's pain right now going on. You're in the middle, rock, hard place, you right in the middle. And so I want to make this practical for us. Here are some questions that we have to ask ourselves honestly if we are in the middle. Here's the first one. Am I willing to wait, and am I willing to rest in God even if I don't get my prayers answered right away? Like, am I willing to wait on God even if he comes through once I'm gone from this earth? Even if my healing comes when I finally change addresses and I go up to heaven, even if I have to wait for God to save that person after that relationship has been removed and we were so close at one time, but we're not anymore. But that's what God needed to be able to really reveal his love and his power. Even if I've got to wait, I'm still going to worship. Here's another question we have to ask ourselves. Do we have a close enough relationship with God where we know him and his character? Like, is everything you know about God, have you heard it from a pastor? Have you heard it from a church, from a Bible study? Or have you learned it yourself communicating with God? Is everything you know about God from some great preacher or great missionary or your mom or your dad or a mentor you had? Or do you know things because you've personally dug into the word? Like, do you know about God? Or do you know God personally? When I tell you God loves you, I hope you believe me, but don't just take my word for it. Go after him yourself. When I tell you God has a plan for your life, I hope you believe me because it is true, but don't just take my word for it. Investigate, research, go after God. Spend some time talking with God. Well, yeah, I believe God's good because my mom and dad told me all growing up. Like, that's great, moms and dads. Tell your kids that. We tell our kids that. But you've got to get to a place where no one else leads your relationship with God. You have a relationship with God on your own. I know we're in Texas and you may not normally hear a message like this, but I'm just preaching God's word to you. We've got to have this kind of relationship with God. And again, if you're not at that place, it can change anytime you want it to. Like, you can have been in the church for 20 years, but you just know about God today. That can change. You can get to know him personally. You can begin that process where you get to know God's love and God's care. And even though his plans don't usually match up to ours, they're actually better than ours. I said it before, and I'll say it again. God can take way better care of you than you could ever take care of yourself. But don't take my word for it. Get to know him personally. No one's stopping you from having a close relationship with God. You can blame it on your spouse. You can blame it on your crazy life. You can blame it on your kids all you want to. But the problem, the common denominator, is you. It's you. You can have a close relationship with God. It's not his fault. It's our fault if that's not the case. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about maturity in your faith. Like maturity. And let's just be honest. Many of us, we are immature in our faith. When bad things happen, see you later, God. Peace out, Girl Scout. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm done. And then eventually, when something good happens, all right, I'm back on the bandwagon. Like, that's immaturity. Immaturity is when life gets hard, we bail. Maturity is where life gets hard, we press after God even more. Because we know we need him. We want him. Habakkuk says, even though things are tough, I will rest. And I will wait on God to come through. Here's the second thing Habakkuk is finally able to say. And it's a process. God will help us get there, but you need to be moving there. He's able to say to God as he wrestles with him, number two, even though I will worship. This one's the game changer. This is how we're going to end this series and this message. I'm going to spend some time on it, okay? So don't make your reservations just yet, all right? But even though I will worship, Habakkuk says, even though our livelihood may suffer, and even though our crops and our economy may tank, I will still worship and I will still give God honor. This is verse 18. I will still be joyful and glad. Why? Because the Lord God is my Savior. You see, Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel, it was an agrarian economy. And so most of the people, they made a living by growing figs, grapes, olives, and by raising livestock. And so when Habakkuk lists these things failing before verse 18, they are not just random examples. Like for us, they're random. No olives, no figs, no cattle. Like that's random to us, but it was personal to Habakkuk. It was personal to God's people. Let's transport that to our culture and our context here in Houston. This would be like us saying this, that God, even if the oil fields dry up, even if the stock market crashes, and even if we get into another recession, we will still worship you. That makes it more real, doesn't it? Because about 50% of our church was connected to the oil field. And you're probably the ones that didn't clap just now. Because you're like, no, I don't want to find that level of faith. I don't want to go that deep, God. Take me 3/4, but not all the way. But this is where they're at. That even though it may all go to nothing, I will still worship God. And maybe you're thinking today, like how? How could he say this? Like, how could he get to that kind of deep faith? How do I get there? Here's how, and I hope you'll take this, write this down and take note of this. Habakkuk understood that God is his source and not his job. I hope you'll write that down. I don't see too many pens moving. I hope you'll write that down. He understood that God is his source, not his job. And many of us, we think that that career that we're on and that business you started 20 years ago, you started to see it, and maybe you didn't even realize it till this moment, but the Holy Spirit's revealing it to you, and you started to see it as your source. And God's saying, that's all gonna burn one day. But God, he is stable. He is secure. Your 401k may be the prettiest we've ever seen. Like, you just cannot wait until you can start withdrawing from that puppy, because it's going to be good and you're going to be set and you can finally go on that European cruise and you're just excited for it. Can I tell you that that's not stable? I hope it comes, but it may not. The banks could go under. Oh, they'll just get bailed out. Will they? We don't know. It could all go under. Your job, I know you just got promoted last month, but do you know that your boss can change their mind? And if you don't know that, you should learn that, because it happens every single day in our city. How competitive everything is. They'll love you one minute, they'll hate you the next. You'll be employee of the month one month and you'll get fired the next month. It happens. It's not your source. And if you see it as your source, you have a major problem. And Habakkuk has learned something that you desperately must learn. God is his source. That even if everything goes away, he still has enough because he has God. I'm emotional today. What's going on? My wife's pregnant and maybe the emotions are going, I don't know. Goodness gracious, help me, Lord. Habakkuk's like, you could take away my money, my friends, my health, my possessions, but no one could take away my God. And that's the place he got to. And can I tell you something? And this is going to really help a lot of us. This is what real worship looks like. In fact, I hope you'll jot this down too. Real, authentic worship should cost us something. What do you think on that? What do you think about that? Real, authentic worship should cost us something. I got to tell you, friend, that worship is so much more than a set of songs on a Sunday morning or a genre on your car radio. Habakkuk has learned the art of praising before the provision. Even though I will worship. And honestly, this is what trust looks like. Anytime I worship God, and anytime you choose to worship God, it costs you something. And the cost is always different. It could be your attention. You know, you pay attention, right? It costs you something. I could be looking at what's going on with the Houston Astros and if they're still targeting our players in spring ball. I could be looking that up right now during the message. And if I just caught somebody, man, you are nervous right now. I just made it up, but I don't know, you know, maybe you. like it costs you something right now to listen. Those that are taking notes, it costs you something. It does, but not just attention. It costs you time when you choose to worship God. Like, you took time out of your schedule, and we are busy, y'all. I'm right there with you. We are busy, and it costs you time to come to God's house to worship him. It costs you time to turn music, worship music on the radio and spend your time praying with God instead of listening to more stuff about politics, which is going to make you mad anyways, y'all. Like, it costs you something. It's not just attention, it's not just time, it's energy, it's effort. It's real easy in a worship service to keep your hands in your pockets. Us guys, we really love doing that because it makes us look cool, because we want to make everybody think that we don't need anybody and we don't want to lift up our hands because that's what kids do to their dad. And so we just want to keep our hands in our pocket and we look mad in church. Church, you should not look mad in God's house. You should be joyful in God's house. Like, I want to see your ugly cry sometimes, fellas, because you are overwhelmed by the goodness of God and how he sustained you and how he's moved in your life. We need some men who will be worshipers and not be afraid to put God first and lift up holy hands to him. Cost you something. It'll cost you your money. Like, when we tithe faithfully, and my family and I, we lead the way on this. When you tithe faithfully, we've got a lot of tithers in the church. When you go above and beyond the tithe, and like we've got Christmas offering and we got legacy offering coming up April 12th on Easter, and any of us that are going to give, and my family again, we're going to lead the way. But when you give, that's an act of worship. You are sacrificing something you like for something you love. I like my money. I don't dislike it, but I don't love it because the love of money is evil. It's sacrifice. I've heard it said this way before, and it's so true. Worship is the most meaningful when it's the most painful. Those of us that have been in pain and those of us that are in pain right now, you know this to be true. I can think back to all the moments in my life. Think back to all the times when I was broken, all the times when I was so upset at God, confused by God, the times when I was on my knees, friend, and tears were spilling down and hitting the floor. I can think back to the times where everything within me wanted to give up and throw in the towel. And it's in those moments when I chose to praise God. It's in those moments when I chose to lift up holy hands. It's in those moments when I chose to magnify and glorify God and not my current situation. It was in those moments that they were the most meaningful and the most impactful, where I got to hug it out with God and God touched my life and He changed my life. It's the most meaningful when it's the most painful. Every powerful moment I've ever had with God was in the valley. It's in the valley. That's why whenever God takes you out of the valley finally and you held on to Him and you wrestled with Him, that's why, and that's how you can actually get to a place where you thank God eventually for the valley. You'll never do that in the valley unless you're dumb. No one's like, God, thank you that I lost my job. That's weird. Like, don't do that, okay? Christians are weird sometimes. Like, no. But when you trust God anyways and you wrestle it out with God and you hug it out with God, and eventually He provides exactly what you need, not according to your timetable, but His, and eventually He brings you out of that valley when you've hugged it out with Him and you wrestle with Him, that's when you get to that place where you can actually thank God for that, because you see how He's brought you through. It's about trust. One last little personal thing, and then we'll close. Worshiping God is trusting the one who is greater and wiser than us. Now, I'm sure all parents can relate to what I'm about to say, but trust is big when it comes to parenting. It's big both ways, of course, but it's big. It was a while back that both our kids, we've got two now, about to have three, and it was a while back that both our kids got pink eye at the same time. And y'all know this already, but I'm just going to remind you, pink eye is of the devil, y'all. It is demonic. It is nasty. If your kids have ever had pink eye, you know, man, and that thing is so easily transferable. Like, it's just not good. So both our kids, they had it at the same time. And so, of course, we did the whole doctor thing, and they give you drops. And if your kids have had pink eye before, you know about those drops. And trying to apply those drops to a young child, you would think that you were torturing them. In fact, our daughter, she's two now. She was one then. We had to give her these drops. I believe she had it in both eyes, but maybe it was just one. I honestly can't remember. But she at least had it in one, and we had to give her drops, and literally, we had to hold her down. One-year-old body. One-year-olds are strong, y'all. Especially when it's fight or flight like that. And so we are holding her down, and really it's me, because my wife's got the drops, and I'm holding her down, and Nora, our baby girl, she hated those drops. Like, hated them. And any parents, not just with the drops, but anytime you've tried to give your kids medicine, you can relate to this. It is a battle. It is World War III up in your house or apartment. like a spoonful of sugar does not help. Cute song, but is not reality for us as parents. So I'm holding down our baby girl, and she is kicking, and she is screaming, and she is shouting. And she's shouting out, she's saying, please, Daddy, no. Please, Dad, stop. And just like it would you, it broke my heart to hear that from my baby girl. Like, Dad, I just want to play. Like, Dad, I don't want to do this. I don't understand. Why are you doing this to me? Now, what did I do? I did what every parent does. I still held her down. And we still applied the drops. And eventually, she got better. Why are you telling me this, Pastor? Here's why. As her dad, I knew something that she didn't know. That if she didn't get that medicine, not only was it going to get worse, but it could have spread to other people around. I knew something that my daughter in her limited mind could not understand. And even though it was painful, and even though she didn't like it, it was exactly what she needed. And trust was formed. Trust. Because she saw that she eventually got better. And she saw that it actually didn't hurt as bad as she thought it was going to hurt. And friend, it's the exact same way with us and God. Here's the amazing thing about my baby girl. Is even though she was shouting, and even though she was kicking, even though she was screaming, she never let go of me. She was wrestling with her dad. And she didn't understand. She didn't like it. She wanted to do something else. But she never let go of me. And if you're in the middle, if you're in a hard place, if you don't understand what's happening all around you, yes, you can ask God questions. Yes, you can show your true emotion to Him, but don't you ever let go. But you keep wrestling. May you keep hugging it out. And let's take this whole thing full circle. Even though I don't understand, you must praise Him. Even though I don't have it all figured out, God, I will trust you. Even though I never thought my life would end up like this, I will worship. Even though I'm in the middle and I don't have my miracle yet, I will give Him glory. Somebody needs to stand up and say, even though I will wait, even though I will worship, even though I don't understand, I will go after Him. Would you all stand up to your feet? Even though I will. This is loving God for who He is and not just what He does. This is praise before the provision. Worship is the most meaningful when it's the most painful. Let's pray. Close your eyes with me. Even though I will. God, thank you for your holy written word. Thank you for making sure that this tiny book of Habakkuk made it into the Holy Bible, the canon of Scripture. Thank you that in just 3 chapters, you have changed my life personally. I've read it before a few times, but as I studied deeply and as I prepared for these messages, God, you're doing a work in me, and I thank you for it. And I pray, God, whether we've been for every week or a few weeks or even our first time, I pray, God, that you'd help all of us as Christians, people who love you, help us to take our questions and our problems and our honest emotions to you. We thank you that you didn't scold Habakkuk for asking questions, and we thank you that you won't scold us for asking questions. We can ask honest questions and also possess real faith at the same time. And I pray that no matter how you respond and how long we have to wait, I pray you take us all to that deep place where we can confidently shout out and sing out, even though I will worship, even though my plans were different, I will praise. Even though it hurts and I'm in the middle and I'm confused, even though I won't bail, but I will press in. It's not about enduring, it's about embracing. And even though I'm a wreck, I will wrestle. Take us to that deep place. It's hard to get there, but thank you that you lead us there. Eyes closed all across the house. Thank you for standing with me if you were able to. But keep those eyes closed. I just want to talk straight to your soul for a moment. Those in the room, those watching, listening online. Maybe you're here today, and instead of going after God, you've been going after other things. Maybe instead of resting in Him and pursuing a deep relationship with Him, you've been pursuing an earthly relationship. Maybe your life has revolved around your kids instead of around Jesus. And right now, the Holy Spirit's confirming that you're actually doing your kids a disservice by making it all about them. You have a chance right now to model what it looks like to have your life revolved around Jesus. Maybe you're here today and at one time you were close with God, but for whatever reason, maybe it was a situation, maybe it was your fault, maybe it wasn't your fault, but for whatever reason, you've walked away from the faith. And you know how to fake it, and you know kind of what a church service looks like because you've been around enough of them. But you're realizing today, because the Holy Spirit's revealing it to you, that you really just know about God. You don't really know God personally. Or maybe you're underneath the sound of my voice and you've never fully surrendered your life to Jesus. You've never gone all in. You've never fully put your trust in Him. And if you're in any of those categories, or maybe another one that I didn't mention, but you're far from God, if that's you, I want to give you a chance to respond. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you come down to the front or take you to another room. But right where you're standing, God can save your soul. He can restore what's been broken. He can give you a fresh start, a new beginning. It's available to you. So with eyes closed, no one looking but me, if you're here today, and for whatever reason, you're far from God, but you want to come close to Him, you want to surrender your life to Him, you want to put your faith in Him, if that's you, would you raise your hand so I can see it? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You put it down once it's up. God, you're so good. Anybody else respond online as well? Hands all over the place. Keep your eyes closed with me. Thank you for your honesty before God. We're almost done. Those that raised your hand a moment ago, and a lot of other people in the room as well, I'm going to ask you to repeat a prayer. It's been called the sinner's prayer, the prayer that a sinner prays before God to become saved, and that's true. But really, it's a prayer of surrender as you surrender your life to Jesus, as you ask Him to forgive you of your sins, as you put your trust not in yourself or in your possessions, or in your status or your family, but you put your trust in Jesus. You go all in. So the many hands that were up, and a whole bunch of other folks here in this room, repeat this after me out loud, and know confidently that Jesus hears you and that he loves you. Say this out loud. Dear Jesus, thank you for your great sacrifice. Jesus, I believe. And Jesus, I have faith. And Jesus, I trust you and you alone. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead. And so right now, in this moment, I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. Jesus, you have all of me. I go all in. Jesus, thank you for your mercy, for your grace, and for your love. I surrender and I will serve. Come on, tell him this. Thank you. Come on, say that again. Thank you for your love and your sacrifice for me. Jesus, change me from the inside out. I give you my past. Come on, tell him that again. I know that's tough. I give you my past. I give you my present. And I give you my future. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Can you put your hands together for what God just did? Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.